Today on the 10-12 podcast, myself, Leah, and guest Victor Anderson look back at the Oklahoma-Texas series and what it means moving forward, plus our games of the week, picks for Big 12 games this weekend, and Oklahoma State's Caroline Wong joins the show to talk about her transition from Liberty to Oklahoma State, her incredible start to the season, and much, much more.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Welcome to the 10-12, the podcast that covers all 14 teams in the Big 12 Conference, plus Colorado, Arizona, Arizona State, and Utah. We are the flagship show of the 10-12 Network. Find every show on the network at 1012network.com. And of course, we are partners with Sports Social, Europe's biggest sports podcast network. I'm your host, Philip Slavin. Thank you for joining us today. I know we've been on a bit of a hiatus because obviously Monday episodes aren't going on right now. I have like tons of notes for things I want to do, and I just haven't I have not had the energy. And we missed last week because, honestly, I'm glad we're here this week. We are lucky to be here this week. I had a wife and middle child get food poisoning last night. I was up till 12:30. I don't know how much puke I've cleaned up. We had to swap out. We had to replace the comfort animal for my second child because it got thrown up on and can't be machine washed. Don't buy your children warmies. Definitely not a sponsor here on the 10-12 podcast. So I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be doing something other than, you know, laundry or comforting a sad or a sick child. So we're going to talk some softball. Thank goodness. And I'm not going to do it alone because I never do. You're welcome. Joining us as she always does, she is the crap talk queen of the 10-12 network. I forget what the official title is because it's been a couple of weeks, but she is Leah Nelson.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad I'm here talking softball. I'm glad I didn't have to clean up any puke the last couple of days. Yeah, that's tough, but pumped to be here for sure.
With kids come throw up. Like it is inevitable. Once you start having them, they're at some point. Last year was a stomach bug. This year it's food poisoning. So at least we didn't all get it at the same time. Because let me tell you, four people in a house all having stomach bug at the same time is not... It's not. It's not a weekend I would want to befall on anyone. And Eric is not here, so filling in is it's his other half from In the Circle podcast. And if you listen to this, you guys know what In the Circle is. It's the best college softball podcast out there. Joining us today is Victor Anderson. Victor, welcome to the 10-12.
Long time listener, first time guester, so to speak. Nice to be called out of the bullpen to help Elo out and. My thoughts and prayers, Philip, to your household, dealing with all that stuff that you had to deal with the missus and the middle child of the family.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. I don't like to get too personal on here, but sometimes you just got to, like, a deep breath.
Yes.
Deep breath.
Woosah.
I would sing a Daniel Tiger song about calming down or not being angry, but I can't remember the lyrics exactly, and so we're just going to go ahead and ignore that. All right. We've got softball to talk about. We've got Big 12 softball to talk about. I will note, Caroline Wong of Oklahoma State will be joining us shortly. She is our interview for this episode. An absolutely incredible weekend against Houston she had with the Cowgirls. She's having a fantastic season for the Cowgirls and one of the best seasons in the Big 12 this year. So she's coming up. Fantastic story about her transition, entering the transfer portal, moving from Liberty to Oklahoma State, what that was like for her. So we got the interview coming up here shortly in just a little bit. Of course, she was of a National Fast Pitch Coaches Association and Big 12 Player of the Week this past weekend after a great weekend. So absolutely fantastic interview. We got to talk about the event of the weekend that happened. Like, I know it's been a few days, but we have to touch on the fact that Texas did something that no one had done in like 14 years in taking a Big 12 series from Oklahoma. Somebody beat Oklahoma in back-to-back for the first time since 2019. It was just absolutely incredible what Texas did to Oklahoma in Austin. And not just the fact that Texas won the series, which is in and of itself incredible. That Texas, after losing Friday, held Oklahoma. If you told me that Texas was going to score two runs on Saturday and Sunday against Oklahoma, I would have assumed Oklahoma swept the series. Like, okay, Oklahoma has swept the series. That Texas scored two runs on Saturday and Sunday and won both games. That you limited Oklahoma's offense that well. The credit goes to Texas. The win goes to Texas. Oklahoma didn't lose that series. Texas beat Oklahoma. Period, end of story. Victor?
The biggest thing I took away was Texas proved that they can go toe-to-toe with the Sooners. And I think that was a question on everybody's mind going into the Big 12. Was anybody capable with the roster to match Oklahoma? And Texas proved it this past weekend. And I think we also have to now consider Texas, in my personal opinion, the biggest threat to Oklahoma, not just in the Big 12, but for the national championship. I know there'll be some Cowgirl fans who will be saying, hey, what about us? We beat Texas 2 out of 3 a couple of weekends ago in Stillwater. I understand that. Caroline Wong was a big reason behind that, her and Lexi Kilfoyle. But in the vacuum that it is, Texas showed that they can go toe-to-toe with Oklahoma and beat the Sooners at their own game. The one thing I want to let all Oklahoma fans know, beating Oklahoma in April in Austin is one thing. Beating Oklahoma in June in Oklahoma City is an entirely different beast. So let's give credit to Texas for a phenomenal series win, the pitching, how Mike White used his arms, especially his El Check, in those two wins were phenomenal. But let's also remember, beating Oklahoma in the regular season doesn't guarantee that you're going to do the same thing when everything is on the line in May, particularly June, when those two will likely go to head, go battling one more time.
I agree with you, Victor, but I just think it is so exciting that Oklahoma got beat not once, but twice in a row. I don't remember the last time that's happened. That is crazy. And I'm not rooting against Oklahoma, but I'm rooting for college softball. And I think this opens up so many doors for so many teams in, you know, come June at the World Series. I mean, you see how people root for the JMUs, Oregon States, the Utahs. Like, people love kind of seeing an underdog. And at the beginning of this season, even in my own head, I was like, Oklahoma's got this in the bag. And so to see them lose a few times this season, it's just a little exciting because I think that opens the door for a lot of other teams. It gives them a glimmer of hope. You know, there's this unspoken kind of thing like, oh, Oklahoma's going to make it to the World Series. They're going to win, blah, 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 blah. I think this is just going to add a lot of excitement these next couple of weeks, these next couple of months for college softball.
Adding any sort of, and look, we get it, Oklahoma. Like,
right.
You have earned the respect that you are given. You have earned the benefit of the doubt that they're still going to be the favorite to win the Big 12. They're still going to be the favorite to be the number one overall seed. They're still going to be the favorite to win the whole thing. Absolutely, hands down. But for a team to provide any level of doubt, and yes, April in Austin is different than June in OKC. But April is also different than like Baylor doing it last season, early in the season. Mm-hmm. This is a lot later. And Texas did this. Texas, you know, we've seen Oklahoma lose. Texas lost to beat Oklahoma in a game 2 years ago. Oklahoma State beat Oklahoma 2 years ago in the Big 12 tournament. And so like we've seen losses. And for somebody to do it twice in Oklahoma City is going to be something to see if that actually happens. But to cast any doubt on the to prove that Oklahoma might be a little bit invulnerable is good for softball. Mm-hmm. Because if you're going to tell me it's good for softball that Oklahoma is this dominant, it brings attention, great. If that's the argument you want to make, okay, fine. Whether we do agree or not, that's fine. But then the counter argument to that is when they look vulnerable, when they look like they're not perfect, if there's a chink in the armor, that's also good for softball because the idea of the giant falling, that's something that people pay attention to. That's something that people, John Q. Public, which is what you want to continue to come and follow and pay attention to softball, that's the thing they love to see. People love to watch giants fall. Oklahoma is a giant, the giant. And one of the biggest, Oklahoma softball is one of the biggest giants in sports, period. The potential for them to fall and not win it all Like, it just sets up so much for this season. It could set up a lot for next season. It is a good thing for softball, for Oklahoma, to not be invincible.
Yeah. I mean, and I know this is a softball podcast, but we've seen it happen in basketball right in front of our eyes. I mean, it was a while ago, but UConn was the powerhouse. They're constantly winning. And then you get like those Iowa, you know, team coming up and people just flock to it. They like to see an underdog or someone who's not constantly in the championship game over and over again. Like you said, people like to see the giant fall. And I just think this would open the doors. I feel like girls will start dreaming about going to different schools, which I think is also very exciting. It opens up the doors for those smaller schools, the ones that aren't always getting the huge media attention. So just for college softball, it's massive, like you said.
I think to your point, Leo, with the UConn comparison, Gino Auriemma back, I think it was like a decade ago, when UConn had another undefeated season, a national championship, he looked at it as UConn wants to make everybody invest in resources to get to their level. And we're seeing that more in softball in the last 3 to 4 years, with programs getting stadiums, bringing in recruits, transfer portal, trying to beat that inevitable monster that is Oklahoma. So we have to look at Oklahoma as they're the tide that's rising the sport of college softball. And for anyone to go toe-to-toe with them, like Texas did this past weekend in Austin, it's great for the sport because, one, we're seeing, hey, someone can beat someone who's practically been unbeatable in the last 3 or 4 years. And two, how does the champ respond after facing this adversity? We saw how well they performed after they had that winning streak snapped at home versus Louisiana. We've seen them be challenged. And interestingly enough, after they beat Wichita State in a midweek, Coach Patty Gasso talked to Chris Blank, and she was upset about the fact that Oklahoma didn't kind of put their foot on the gas and end that game earlier against the Shockers. They got 6 runs in the first, but got held to 1 run after that. So Coach Gasso understands her team isn't where they need to be to get to where they ultimately want to be. That's that 4th straight national championship. But that makes the sport so much more interesting when we have other people trying to lay claim and try and slay the giant, so to speak.
It's always interesting to me. Like, I'm sorry, Leah.
No, go ahead.
There's the reason that dynasties are good for sports is because there are casual fans who will attach themselves to dynasties.
Mm-hmm.
You will attract the fans that like those things. And look, why do the Yankees have so many fans who've never stepped foot in the state of New York? Why do North Carolina basketball for years? It ain't just because of the blue. Like, there are fans who will, like, you get someone whose Twitter bio is Lakers, Yankees, Duke,
Cowboys,
uh-huh. Which I don't know why. It's not like they win anymore. But look, you got to have one team that irritates you, I guess. But like, you need those fans, as irritating as they are. That is a casual fan who is going to come in and benefit you. And to counter that, you need the fans who love to root against dynasties.
Yeah.
And so having Oklahoma become this is the argument for why it's good for the sport. And this is also the argument for why it would be a perfectly fine thing for them to get to Oklahoma City and not four-peat.
1,000%. 1,000%. In your guys' expert opinions.
Victors, yes.
How does Oklahoma respond? Like, what happens after this weekend?
Well, if you're Oklahoma, you look at it as a lesson. You understand, okay, here's what happened. Here's why we didn't win. Here's what we need to work on. Let's apply that. Take those lessons and go forward. Because they still got Oklahoma State to end the regular season, which, with the Texas series going how it went, that is going to have huge ramifications for the Big 12 regular season championship, and also who has to play Texas in the semifinal, because two of those three are going to be in the same side of the bracket in Oklahoma City, the conference tournament, which means you're going to have to go through, in Texas' case, they have to go through both Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State may have to go through Texas and Oklahoma to win the tournament championship. So Bedlam has that much more significance on top of all the conversation about with Oklahoma departing the conference, which we could have a whole separate podcast about.
We have, trust me.
Yes, and I'm sure you'll have plenty more when July 1st rolls around and the move's made official. But nonetheless, now you have to make that Bedlam series a higher priority, especially with what happened this past weekend in Austin and the gap narrowing in the regular season championship.
No offense to BYU, Tulsa, Houston, or UCF. None of them are going to give Oklahoma the challenge that Texas did. If you want to argue UCF because it's in Orlando, fine. But no, I'm sorry, BYU and Houston, those games are Norman. And that's kind of my problem with Bedlam this year is Bedlam's in Norman. It's not in Stillwater. I think we'd be having a different story if this three-game series at the end of the year was in Stillwater, or they went back and forth, or like they used to do. They used to have it, I think, like in neutral sites and stuff, and now they're at home. And so it being in Norman, like it the schedule sets up for Oklahoma the rest of the way. Like it wouldn't shock anybody if they didn't lose again before the Big 12 tournament. And I like Oklahoma State, Lexi Kilfoyle is playing fantastic. Caroline Wong has been fantastic. Like Oklahoma State has the talent to steal a game from Oklahoma. It's in Norman. It's going to be tough. So, like for Oklahoma, there's a lesson to learn there, but no one else is going to really. I don't think there's anyone else who's going to give them the challenge until at best Oklahoma State for them to see if they can handle that again when that challenge presents itself. And so it's going to be really interesting for Oklahoma. You've got Bedlam at the end of the season. Obviously, you're going to face Texas or Oklahoma State most likely in Oklahoma City in the Big 12 tournament. And then it's going to be regionals, super regionals in Oklahoma City. There's just not a lot of opportunities for teams to challenge Oklahoma again the rest of the way that Texas did. So it will be interesting to see, but I don't see, sorry, BYU. I just don't, I really feel
You
bad for
don't
them this
have to
weekend.
apologize.
No, this isn't even a shot that I'm afraid of what Oklahoma's going to do to BYU this weekend when they're back home in Norman and not on the road in Wichita like they were this midweek game. So it will be something to keep an eye on. Texas too. Like Texas is, we watched them Wednesday night. They came back to beat Texas State, but they got down 4-3 to Texas State. Texas State had a bad inning that let Texas get back in it. They made a pitching change. It didn't work for them. But like Texas still has to face, they had Texas Tech. They've got Baylor, which is a series we're going to talk about here in just a minute. Texas still has opportunity. Texas is not unbeatable, right? Like we've seen them lose games. They lost that game to Houston. It was Houston Super Bowl, but they got that win. Texas has to play Baylor. Texas has to play Kansas still. Texas has to go to Texas Tech. Texas has a much more difficult stretch down the end of the season than Oklahoma does. So, like for Texas, with what you could potentially get, number one overall seed, if things work out your way, maybe the number two overall seed, like they still have a lot to play for moving forward and a lot more challenges, I think, than Oklahoma does. So, let's look ahead to this weekend. We've got an interesting slate. Obviously, Oklahoma and BYU is one of those series that's going to be played. We've got Iowa State hosting Oklahoma State. Leah will be up in Ames for that one, checking in on her former team and friends. Texas Tech hosting Kansas, Houston hosting UCF, and as I mentioned, Texas and Baylor. Texas Baylor series is interesting because game one is in Waco, and then games two and three on Saturday and Sunday are in Austin for that one. Leah, I'm curious, which series this weekend is the one that you are keeping your eye on the most?
I'm really excited for Kansas and Texas Tech. I've just been rooting for Kansas this whole season. And I think in all of our preseason polls, Kansas and Texas Tech were pretty neck and neck close. So I'm just excited to see who comes out on top of that series.
I agree with you, Leah, with the way Kansas has been playing this season, with what Coach McFaul has done, and now she has a three-headed monster as a staff to take the load off of Casey Hamilton. This is an important series for Kansas because they still got Texas coming up in their season, and Kansas has a viable chance to make the NCAA tournament for the first time in quite a long time. And that win they had in College Station versus Texas A&M is looking better and better as the week and the season goes along with the way the Aggies have been playing. Now, if you could take care of your business on the road against a very explosive Texas Tech offense led by Coach Schneider, it can set things. Kansas has an opportunity in the next 2 weeks to really cement their spot in the NCAA tournament with Texas Tech and Texas back-to-back weekend. So I kind of agree. I echo Leah's sentiments. Very excited to see what the Jayhawks can do and a chance for them to really have a signature mark for Coach McFalls and his team.
Yeah, you look at RPI right now. Kansas is 29th in the RPI, and I at the moment they're a lock to make the postseason. They're not going to host, but they're to me a lock to put at the postseason. So at this point, it's just solidifying that and ensuring that that's where you're going to be. Texas Tech is currently 38th in the RPI. Like, this is a team that wanted to make the postseason this year. They're in a good spot as well. It's still an opportunity for both teams to improve their standing. I will talk about Baylor, Texas. As you guys have both talked about Kansas and Texas Tech, I wanted to at least bring up Texas and Baylor. Texas coming off the big series win against Oklahoma. You had the struggle on Wednesday night against Texas State. Now you're going to go to Waco Friday and come back home to Austin Saturday and Sunday. This is a Baylor team that is still beat up, still trying to kind of get things back on course. But it's a Baylor team with an opportunity to also lock themselves in. Like, I don't think Baylor's still in the running to host. I think that would require a miracle run for them to get high enough back up at the RPI. I think they're at 20 now, and they continue to slip. But for Baylor, like, I think they're a postseason team, but Baylor would like to kind of get the ship back on the right course as they head closer toward the end of the season. So I think, to me, those are the two biggest series this weekend. The other one I would at least note is UCF at Houston. Houston continues to slide. They're 3-12 in Big 12 play. Like, it just, the season's kind of coming off. The pitching has just not been there for them. The offense has been fine. The pitching is not. UCF, meanwhile, after a very difficult stretch, we talked about this, they had that losing streak of like 7 games. They had a really tough stretch. Now they're at 7-8 in conference play. Are they coming off a weekend where they get the series win over Texas Tech? They're playing much better. They're going on the road to Houston. It is a team that can hit the ball well. It's the kind of a spot where you don't want to trip up. It's a spot for UCF to continue to be on the rise. They've continued to move up in the RPI too. They're now up at 36th, if I recall correctly. They're solidifying themselves as a team that should be in the postseason. So, like, right now we're looking at about 12 Big 12 or 7, 12 Big 12 teams. Ha, kidding. 7 Big 12 teams in the postseason with Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, Texas, Baylor, Kansas, UCF, and Texas Tech. So all those teams have a lot to play for every single game through the rest of the season to make sure that they put themselves in a good spot to reach the postseason. All right, let's make some picks. Let's make some picks for this weekend, and then we're going to talk to Caroline Wong. But before we make picks, I do have to remind everybody about the beloved sponsor here on the 1012 Podcast and for the entire 1012 Network, Charlie Hustle. This podcast, this network is brought to you by Charlie Hustle Clothing Company, vintage-inspired clothing company based out of Kansas City that loves the Big 12, loves Kansas City. They've got every current Big 12 school because they added Cincinnati. We're thrilled for it. They've got Colorado. Those are just some of the more than 30 schools that they have to choose from. They've had a great sale that's been going on. They've got promotions going on all the time. There's a bunch of great Big 12 gear. And a lot of the Big 12 gear is going on sale right now because they're just getting themselves ready for more coming up. So if it's on sale, you don't need to worry about the promo code. You just go and save on fantastic stuff. The Iowa State sweatpants. Those have been on sale. Leah, I've been told by our other Iowa State resident podcast co-host, Jamie Steyer Johnson, that they are quite comfortable. So if you're an Iowa State fan, Iowa State's also got some like kid stuff in there. It's crazy. It's really fun. I'm not buying any for my kids. I'm sorry. But if there isn't a sale going on for the thing that you want, then you can use our promo code 101215, TEN1215 for 15% off all non-sale items. Shout out to everybody who participated in the bracket challenge. The gift cards will be going out to the winners. Thanks to Charlie Hustle for helping us out with that one as well. And keep an eye out. We're going to have giveaways from the podcast throughout the year in the 1012 Network. So make sure you're following all of them on Twitter. So shop Charlie Hustle. That's at the end of the day, that's the message. Use the promo code 101215 if things aren't on sale because you get 15% off all non-sale items all the time with that promo code. Charlie Hustle, vintage made fresh. All right, let's make some fresh picks for this weekend. Victor as our guest, and we're going to let you go first. Let's start with that Texas at Baylor series that we talked about. Pick the winner and the by what record for the weekend, Victor?
I still am concerned about Baylor's injuries. If Baylor was fully healthy, I would at least give them the Friday game in Waco, and then they'll probably, and then Texas won't win the two in Austin. But Texas, that Wednesday game versus Texas State kind of reminded them that, hey, you got to keep things going. If you want to get to that potential number one seed, number two national seed, I got Texas sweeping Baylor 3-0 this weekend.
I have to completely agree with Victor. I would love to say Baylor was going to take that Friday game, but again, with the way Texas is playing, the little wake up midweek game they had, I'm definitely going to have to go Texas 3, Baylor 0.
Deep down, I agree with you guys, but every time y'all or my two co-hosts agree, typically I like to go counter. And look, Texas is going to win this series. They are. I'll give Baylor a game. I'll give Baylor a game in Waco. I think they're going to put, similar to the Houston game, like I think Baylor understands the importance of this series, but understands the importance of trying to get that opener in Waco before they head to Austin. Yes, Texas got their scare with Texas State. Maybe it scared them. It was at the end, like Texas kind of took the lead back quickly. And maybe it was just a little bit of a wake up call. Maybe they got the lead back too easily because it seemed like it was more due to Texas State mistakes than it was Texas's like valiant effort to mount a giant comeback. So we'll see. I'm going to take Texas 2-1. I'm going to say Baylor is able to get at least one in this series. They're going to need it. All right. Next up, Kansas on the road at Texas Tech. I agree. This one might be the most fun series of the weekend in the Big 12. Two teams that feel, I'm going to say, kind of evenly matched, but in very, very, very different teams. One that relies on defense and pitching. One that's got a fantastic offense. So, Victor, who is the victor here and by what record?
I really struggled back and forth with who I wanted to pick because I really love what Coach Schneider is building in Lubbock with the great classes he's brought in those 2 years. But doesn't it feel to both of you that this feels like a different Kansas team? And Eric and I talked to Coach Jennifer McFalls prior to the season during our Big 12 media week. And she was optimistic about if her team could stay healthy, that they had all the pieces necessary to be what we've seen them to be. I don't think that stops this weekend. I think Kansas wins the series 2-1 over Texas Tech. Expect a lot of offense in this series because Kansas very sneakily has some bats that can match Texas Tech, but I think the pitching matchup favors the Jayhawks. So I got Kansas 2-1 over Texas Tech this weekend.
Oh man, Victor, you're reading my mind. I got to agree. I mean, I've been going back and forth too. I was thinking about it, but the way Kansas is playing, I mean, they're ranked. I think they just tweeted out that they had the most conference wins they've had since like 2001. Mm-hmm. And so they know that each game means a lot to them if they want to make that postseason run. And so they're going to play like their butts are on fire. And, I mean, Texas Tech is great. It's going to be a dogfight. I really do think it. I wouldn't be surprised if it went into extras. But, yeah, I'm going to have to go Kansas to Texas Tech 1.
Kansas receiving is ranked in some of the polls. Not all of them. Just going to leave that there. It's fine if people want to vote. Make sure that they have all the SEC teams in the top 25. That's cool. Whatever. Fine. Okay.
Look, I will Casey not go Hamilton. On over. I will not use your. I will not use your pack. I will not go on your podcast, sir, to go on a rant about polls. Y'all follow me at Catbird Red because I've expressed that thoughts on many occasions.
Kansas fell out of the rank. I'm going to do it. Kansas fell out of the ranking after getting swept by Oklahoma. Like everyone doesn't get swept by Oklahoma all the time, except for Texas. Like,
it,
right.
Anywho. Okay. Sorry.
All right. Woosah. Remember, Philip, the password for his podcast is Woosah.
Woosah.
Yeah.
Woosah. All right. We just found our podcast episode name. Big 12 Woosah. Look, Casey Hamilton has been absolutely incredible. And look, I will humble brag about the fact that I was high on Kansas coming into the season because of how much they brought back, and they have exceeded even my expectations and been incredible. And Casey Hamilton is not going to be pitcher of the year in the Big 12, but I don't think there's a more important pitcher to any team in the Big 12 than Casey Hamilton is to Kansas's success, other than, again, Kilfoyle right there. It's just neck and neck. Man, I don't want to just sit here and agree because it's not as exciting, but like I think Texas Tech's going to get a game in this because it is in Lubbock. Like, and but I think Kansas is the better team here. I'm like, look, Kansas started Big 12 play, losing 2 of 3 to UCF. Would it shock me if Texas Tech found a way to get 2 of 3 here? No, it wouldn't. Like I said, I think these are two teams from that are overall fairly even. But I'm going to say, I'm going to agree with you guys and keep it boring. Kansas 2-1 on the road in Lubbock. All right, last series to pick, UCF on the road at Houston. Our good friend Eric Lopez will be on the call here, so it seemed like a good – and since he's not here, it was a good time to pick a UCF series. We didn't want to put the pressure on him to have to make a decision. Always both feel bad and kind of mwah when we make him pick UCF series. UCF at Houston, Victor, what happens here?
Well, if I don't pick UCF, I know for a fact Eric won't let me be on the podcast in the next couple of episodes. So I really like how UCF is starting to figure themselves out, especially in the circle with Halajon and Sarah Willis trying to find that combination in the circle. And Chloe Evans has been a nice surprise for me offensively to go along with Jada Cody and Stody Kozanic transferring in for UCF. I like the Knights to win the series. I think Houston does take a game off the Knights. I got UCF 2-1. Now, we agree on this series, and we really are – maybe we need to chip in on a Powerball or something if we all agree on this one.
I'll go against – I'll change it up. I'm loving how UCF is playing, and I think this is more just for myself than what I really think, but I think they might be able to pull off another sweep against Houston. I think it would be fun. I think they're kind of getting it. They see what it's like to win in the Big 12. They're pretty excited. They're playing good softball. I think they're going to play some really good quality games this weekend. So yeah, I'm going to take UCF 3, Houston 0.
I like where your head's at there. Look, against the teams in this ranking, they haven't lost anybody who you'd classify as like a quad 3, quad 4 since early in the non-con. Otherwise, you know, they'll drop a game to Kansas, drop a game to Texas Tech. But like they've been doing better in the Big 12. They swept BYU. They won the series with Texas Tech. I thought I was going to be the wild one who picked a sweep, but I'm going to agree with you, Leah. I'm going to take UCF to go on the road to Houston. I think Houston can put up some runs. I think we'll have a nice high-scoring affair. But I think UCF has the far better pitching and is going to be able to do enough to get the sweep here and go 3-0. And just keep building the wins they need to solidify a place in the postseason and return this year. I mean, 3-0. Think about it this way. A sweep this weekend would put them above 500 in Big 12 play at 7-8. And if I recall correctly, at one point, they were like 3-something.
Yeah.
Like they've won 5 of their last 6. So they were at what was my math right? They were at one point 2-7. So now they're sitting at 7-8 and could go above 500 and get 10 wins in Big 12 play with 3 weeks left to go. Would be very impressive and really had to start to feel really good about UCF as they head toward the postseason. So I like it. I like it. This is great. Victor, I really appreciate your time today. Thank you for filling in for Eric this week. It's a pleasure to have you on. This will not be the last time we do so, I promise. Do me a favor, outside of In the Circle, where obviously everyone can find you, plug everything else, everywhere else people can find you and check out your work covering college softball.
Follow my very interesting Twitter/X account at CatBirdRed. Where I will post my thoughts on all things softball. And if you go to the Inner Circle YouTube channel, I have a segment called Yeah, I Said It, where I like to pontificate on certain things in softball, like runners leaving early, announcers using we in their pot in their broadcasting. And this week, I may just rant about the various polls and the inconsistencies within the polls. I may rant about people who are talking about hosting. I may rant about the fans on the Big 12, the good fans of the Big 12. I won't rant about you, the bad fans of the Big 12. You never know what I'm going to rant about. Yeah, I said it. So Subscribe to the Inner Circle YouTube channel. Follow me on Twitter /X at Catbird Red. And I guess, oh, by the way, for those of you who like to follow Division II, because there's some good Division II softball being played, especially in Oklahoma and Texas, I got a D2 podcast called D2 Tuesday. Follow that at the letter D, the number 2 Tuesday on social media. We got podcasts coming out every Tuesday, 2 p.m. Eastern time, where we talk about Division II. They're getting ready to start their postseason next month. A lot of softball for yours truly. So any support you can lend me, it would be greatly appreciated.
Yeah, Central Oklahoma, they got themselves quite a program.
Yes.
I'm sorry. What are bad Big 12 softball fans?
I may have to save that for the next episode.
Ooh, that's a tease.
I may have to save that for the next episode. And it's not just Big 12 softball fans. It's softball fans in general. They've been a little chirpy the last few weeks, and I may have to kind of reset reality for some of them. So,
All right. And speaking of chirpy, Leah, where can everybody check out everything that you do?
Yeah, follow me on Twitter slash X at Leah without an H, CJ21. I'll probably do maybe some tweets, some pictures this weekend. Iowa State, Oklahoma State, big, big, big series. It's always been my favorite. So obviously I had to make the trip back to Ames to watch it. So tune in. Right. You might be able to see something good.
Be nice. Don't say anything mean about me while you're up there.
Okay? Oh, I won't. I won't.
Will that mean Leah will actually be in a dugout in the physical sense, or will have her face plastered doing Coach Pinkerton's interviews like they did the last couple of weekends?
Yes. Yeah. I don't know. That was hilarious. It cracked me up. I didn't know what they had up their sleeve. Seriously, all I got was a text message from my teammates. Make sure you tune in. I'm like, these girls are a little crazy. So I had no idea. Luckily, it was just a good picture of me. So,
oh, that's right, the important part.
The face is going to pop up, and then someone will have found you in the crowd during the game. And we'll have both. Well, that's a little simulcast.
A good producer will know where you are when that happens.
Yes, hilarious. A good producer will.
Hilarious.
All right. We've got Carolina Wong coming up next. Thank you again to Victor. Thank you again to Leah. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll talk to you again soon. Very excited to have with us today a player who earned some National Player of the Week accolades, as was due given what she did in Houston. Very excited to have Caroline Wong of Oklahoma State joining us. Caroline, welcome to the 10-12.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. As I said, as a Big 12 fan, I'm excited. As an Oklahoma State fan at heart, I'm very excited to have you here today. Let's just start with what was an incredible weekend down in Houston for not just the Cowgirls, but you especially. I mean, outscoring Houston 10-3, you almost had more hits than Houston did. I mean, just a fantastic weekend. And obviously credit goes to the team as a whole. But was there something about this weekend for you where things just clicked, or the bat was just hitting right, or you just saw the pitch? What was this weekend like for you down there in Houston?
I would say the bat was just hitting right. It didn't feel like, honestly, anything special. This year I've really tried to focus on, you know, keeping a good mindset no matter what the outcome is of, you know, each swing. And it just went well this weekend, you know. that's really all.
I mean, I would say not just this weekend. It's the bat's been swinging well for you so far this season. I mean, you're tied for the lead in the Big 12 with 15 home runs. You've been hitting the ball incredibly well. I believe in run RBI, you're sixth in the Big 12 and leading Oklahoma State. I mean, you were known as a good hitter when you were at Liberty before you joined Oklahoma State. It does feel like your game has been taken up at least a notch while you are in Stillwater for this season. Where do you kind of give the credit for how well you've been able to play so far?
Honestly, like I said, just my mentality, just in the past, like you said, I haven't been successful the past like two seasons as well. But it's really been like a hard learning curve that I had, and just like learning to win the battle in your mind. And having a good mindset and keeping a good mindset, it's a lot harder than you would think. And it has a lot more to do with your success than I would have thought, you know, prior to these seasons. And so just learning that and learning how to maintain that and just have fun again and, I did well last year and I loved my last two seasons as well. But like this year, I feel like I've really just gotten it. Like I've had so much fun. I feel like more freedom playing. Like it's just fun. It's just a game. And it is important. I don't mean to like minimize the importance and how much I love it, but like it is just a game and I really am just having fun.
I feel like every time I've had a senior on the show, they do talk about the mental side and really finally getting the mental side to kind of click once they're getting into their juniors and senior years. Does that feel like that's the hardest learning curve of things to kind of figure out while you're in college playing softball, is to get the mental side right?
For me, 100%. I would say as far as like a blanket statement for everyone, I know I'm a little biased because I know how much it's affected me, but I would say yes. And more so just because I don't think the younger people always believe you. Like I am the first person, I'm the first person to tell like even people on my team, like, hey, like you need to fix your brain. Like, what are you thinking about when you're out there, And like, that was me. I was that person. I was the person that didn't want to listen and didn't want to hear that. But I think I would say yes, that it's really hard to make like young athletes who have just been successful their whole careers because they're really talented to buy in and be like, okay, I'm good enough, but I need to fix my mentality and what's going on up there.
You've talked some about this in the past, the transition from Liberty to Oklahoma State and kind of some of the, just the struggles that you've kind of dealt with. I mean, obviously now performing so well, but it hasn't been the, just a perfect transition. What was that experience like for you, for those who haven't heard your story so far, about coming over, entering the transfer portal from Liberty and joining Oklahoma State?
Well, like I said, I left Liberty really only because of school. I loved it there. I loved my coaches and my team and my experience there. I cannot complain about one bit. But I wanted to do speech pathology. And so I knew like a year in advance, I knew that I needed to leave because I wanted to be responsible with schooling, And so I decided I was going to, and I did. And I really had no expectation of what that was going to be. I was very prepared to, just go somewhere that has the school and play softball and for it to be a job, do my best, obviously, but I was prepared to be responsible and get the school I needed. And so, I really was overwhelmed with like the interest I got in the portal. And I had no expectation of playing at like a top program like this by any means. But when they call you and they ask you if you want to come on a visit, it's hard to say no to Oklahoma State, or at least not give them a shot, So I came out here and it was really just overwhelming how friendly everyone is. And I told my mom, I was like, I know that he told them all to be nice to me. Like, I just was so confident of that. I've asked them all now and they said, no, he didn't say anything, but I was just really confident in that. And I just really loved it here. And so I committed. They have a great speech path program and I've been like leveling this year. So next year I'll start grad school. And I've just like had an overwhelming like community surrounding me, like people within the speech path department that love softball that have just helped me so much. And just this team so encouraging and like just taking me in like family, really. It's been really great. And that's apart from just the softball aspect of it,
Yeah, that's fantastic, Bill. One thing, as much negativity as gets talked about with the transfer portal, one side I don't think it's talked about is that it is a big decision to try and enter, and it is a big change. It's not as simple as just like, oh, I'm just going to go over here now. Like, it's a completely drastic change of your life. Throw in the fact that you got married as well. And so, like, all that change obviously is going to have an impact on you. And it seems like so far you've handled it fairly well, and it's been a successful change for you.
I would say for sure. It was hard. Just so much change. I'm not the person that I like to stay the same. And I was very comfortable at Liberty. And I, like I said, I loved it there. And so that was an extremely difficult decision for me to make. But like I said, it ultimately came down to like, I need to be responsible, whether it's financially or just, preparing myself for the future. Like, having the ability to have a job that I want to have. I just felt like I needed to be responsible. And so it came down to that, you know. I felt like I'd given Liberty 4 years, you know. I didn't want to upset them in any way, you know. I didn't want them to feel like I was doing the wrong thing. So I was just very straight up about the whole thing, and I wouldn't have wanted to do it any differently. You know, I wanted to be as, you know, stand up about the whole thing as I could. You know, I'm not trying to hide anything or trick anyone. And so that's just what I felt like I had to do. And honestly, I had no expectation of it turning out as well as it has.
I've read at least a couple of interviews, and Coach Gaskin's mentioned, like, it seemed in the fall like you were kind of struggling with the transition. What do you feel like kind of helped get you over the hump from where you were the fall to as good as you've been to start the season?
The fall, it makes me laugh to talk about this because, I mean, it was a lot of adjustment. You know, I've been in the same place for 4 years, same coaches, teammates, everyone knew me. They knew how I played. They knew, you know, and I just came in here. I didn't know anyone. I didn't know anybody on the team when I came in. I didn't know any of the coaches. They had never, they'd watched film of me, but they'd never watched me with their eyes play, you know. And they didn't know me, and I also took the whole summer off, didn't do a thing. I was so busy. I had an internship I had to do to graduate from Liberty. I got married. It was such a busy time, and I was like, I'm gonna take it off. You know, I need to. My body needed to rest. I was coming off an injury, and so when I went back in August, no, I was not looking too hot, and I knew it. And it was he's like, yeah, you just looked like you hated it. And I'm like, man, I was doing horrible. It's not fun to go out there and suck every day. So I think kind of getting back into it after a long break is part of it, and also just them learning me the way that I play, and just having conversations, talking about it, what do you expect from me? What am I not doing? You know, and we've had some of those, but now it's going very well now. I think we have a better understanding of what they need from me, what the team needs from me, what they expect from me, and how can I do that without having to try to be something I'm not, you know?
Yeah, no, that's great. Again, there's a learning curve. There's making adjustments. It's a big part of transferring, and of course, taking a summer off is going to have an impact. I got to ask, what has married life been like for you so far?
It's been awesome. It's been so busy. I mean, it was, like I said, my summer was so fun, but unbelievably busy. You know, it felt like we didn't slow down. And really, still, it kind of feels like we haven't slowed down, just going straight into me starting school again. And now it's the spring and we're traveling all the time. But it's been so great. And I think that definitely made the transition to Oklahoma State a little bit easier. Just knowing I wasn't going to go alone. Like I said, I didn't know anyone, but I was here with Matt. And it would have been okay, even if I wasn't loving every single, you know, if I wasn't having as good of experience as it is, there was always even if it sucks, at least I'm not there alone, you know? And
Yeah.
that's pessimistic. But when you're going into it, you don't know how it's going to be. But it's been great, and we're just getting through the spring right now, lots of travel.
Lots of travel. Absolutely. I want to ask, you know, Coach Gajewski made the decision to promote Coach Vanessa Shippey or Shippey Fletcher up to hitting coach in December. It's kind of like a late decision. How do you feel like that transition has gone, and what kind of impact has she had on you and your hitting?
It's definitely been very smooth. I think everyone was just immediately, everyone was all in. Everyone loves Shippy anyway, you know. So it wasn't like it was a new person, or it's not like they were having like build she was having like build rapport with the team or anything. Like everyone knows how smart she is, how much she knows about softball, and how much she loves every one of us. And I think that is probably one thing that helped the most is like she didn't have to come in and like prove herself to anyone before people were all in. And so when whatever, you know, it was an adjustment. It was like she's teaching different stuff than what we'd had previously, but everyone was ready to go. You know, you come back in the spring, you're kind of excited to get ready to go anyway. And so everyone just readily welcomed this change. You know, it was challenging for a few weeks. Like, it was pretty big difference from what we'd had before. But we also knew, like, if we want to be successful, we've just got to embrace this right now. You know, we can't slowly go into this and be hesitant about it. And also just we love her. Like you said, we trust her and we know that she's studied this and she knows each and every one of us. She already knew our swings, whether or not she was in charge of them or whatever you want to say. So I think all of those things kind of contributed to like how well everything's gone.
Okay. I got to ask some fun questions because it's fun stuff to talk about. No, first of all, what are your walk-up songs?
My first, and why? My first one is Money and Fame by Need to Breathe. I think it's just really cool. It's kind of like dramatic. One of my best friends in high school had it as her high school walk-up song. And I was like, I got to steal this. Like, it's so cool. And she was, of course, happy to let me. The other one, to be honest, it doesn't have that much meaning to me. I actually stole it from a girl on my team last year. I just thought it sounded cool when she had it. I've never had to have two before. I've always had Money and Fame for every single year. So I thought hers was really cool. So I just stole hers.
What is it?
2K. I don't know the name of the artist. It's okay. Like a Christian rap song.
All right. Very good. All right. Fun. All right. Who is, if I use the term correctly, I've been trying to adapt it, the chippiest player on the team? Who's the mouthy one who's gonna get into it with the opposing teams and opposing fans?
I don't know. Maybe Talon.
Okay.
Talon. Yeah, that would probably be my answer, I guess.
Okay, that's who Lexi said too. So yeah. When we had her on a few weeks ago. So, okay, this is confirmed. Now I've got to get Talon on. Now we got to get Talon on the show because I said to round up all the chippy players to get on the show. Who's got the biggest personality on the team?
Biggest personality. God, there's so many people. maybe Megan Bloodworth. I think she's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, just pretty consistent, you know, always goofy, always. That I think everybody just loves Meg.
Okay. What's Coach Gajewski like? We see Coach Gajewski when we see interviews, and he just seems like a fun and great guy to play for, and everyone always speaks very highly of him. But like, what's your take on Coach Gajewski, especially behind the scenes?
Honestly, I would say like what you would see and think from interviews and like any interactions is like pretty accurate. He's pretty laid back. You know, obviously he gets fired up as any coach does, as anybody does at all, but it's very like apparent. Like that's how he is. He's laid back guy. You know, he loves all of us. He would take care of us. He'd do anything for us to be successful. And, yeah, he's really awesome. And I would say like overall, just laid back, you know, we're going to get our work done. We're going to do this, but like, we're also going to have fun.
Have you gone to some other, okay. So this is the last year for Bedlam in Big 12 play as Oklahoma's going to leave. And you are, this is your first year in as an Oklahoma State player, as a student, obviously Bedlam is coming up here in about a month. Have you been kind of taught the importance of Bedlam and what it means? Have you gone to some Bedlam events and kind of gotten the idea of like, oh, okay, this is how we think of OU?
Oh, for sure. I think it's almost funny coming in like as an outsider, like an outside perspective of how much everyone cares. Like, I know that sounds bad and I understand it now. People just love OSU. Like, I think that is honestly something that just like sets apart this university or like sports in particular, is like people love OSU. Like, it's not just our families. It's not just like, oh, we're going to root for them because they're good. Like, so many of our fans are just diehard OSU. They love the university. And so they're just going to love the teams and they're going to support them. And I think that's really awesome. And that definitely helps like I said, like me coming in, someone who has no ties to OSU besides now, you know, I have outside perspective and like buying into all this stuff that like from the outside would seem silly. I think that that is something that makes you be like, oh no, they just have like pride in this university and like it's fun.
That's fantastic. Well, Caroline, you have been great. Thank you so much for your time and sharing your story with us. And good luck to you and the team through the rest of the season. Obviously, you have very high aspirations. This team is, I think, kind of over-delivered based off of what people thought coming into the season, but has continued to keep the consistency of the cowgirl way and what people come to expect from Oklahoma State softball. So congrats to you, and thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Sports Social Podcast Network.